with me this morning to Hebrews, the first chapter. I got thinking about this week. We talk a lot about the sovereignty of God. I think sometimes we don't give Him the credit He deserves as being sovereign. Scripture come to mind, and we use it quite often. The Apostle Paul's words that it's Him we live and move and have our being. And then I got went over and got looking at that, and He was talking to the Stoics and the Epicureans and all those religious people of that day. I've often said that the Bible is written to the people of God, and it is, but it's written to others too. And I got thinking on these things, and Paul come up Mars Hill, and there they were worshiping. They truly were. Just worshiping the wrong God. One they didn't even know, worshiping an unknown God. But Paul was speaking to these people as it was a known fact among all that in Him we live and move and have our being. And He's sovereign all over all the affairs of men, whether they be those that are called by His name or those that are not called by His name, those that are in the world. I'd like to read a few verses here beginning in chapter 1 and verse 1. He said, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. We got a more sure word of prophecy here. By His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. Now this is really speaking to the sovereignty of God here. He's going, everything is His because the Father hath given it to Him. By whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. We see that back in Genesis. He just spoke it. That's the first time we see it there. But He just spoke it and it was so. The whole creation, including man and all the animals that's in it. And He gave them their power to live and move and have their being. It was all established in Him. He said, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, it's finished. Complete. Being made so much better than the angels as He hath by inheritance. I said I really like that word, inheritance. That's the way we get it. You understand? We can't get it any other way. It has to be inherited. And Christ inherited from the Father. He said, obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, and let all the angels of God worship Him. So there we got another creature. Even then. He said, and of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire, but under the sun, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. I said last Sunday, we got those two kings. The one that's of this world and the one that's of the Lord. But still, he is the governor and ruler and judge over all. Doesn't leave anything out. You know, people now are of the opinion, for the most part, a lot of them good Baptist folk, that this world is just kind of ambling along and wobbling around, and we may have a catastrophe such as global warming that man has done. Man had never done anything that God didn't set him about to do. The old devil had never done anything. Make me think of Job. Where you been, devil? Been down walking to and fro in the earth, and I run across old Job, and you got a hedge about him. He did that. But then the devil had to ask permission to even go mess with Job. You know what? The devil's smarter than the Baptist folks are today. Much. They think it's in their power to do these things. They say all we got to do is believe in the Lord and be saved. And I say, yeah, that's true. But you try it. You try it. Outside of the Holy Ghost, man will not believe. And all this is set in order by the same power. He made man subject to vanity, and he continues in that vanity, unless the Lord get him out of it. So he still has the same thought that he is sovereign. Man thinks he's sovereign. Baptist folks are the worst ones. They say God is sitting in the heavens and wringing his hands, because he can't get people saved. He would have them all to be saved, but he just can't get it done. So that makes man sovereign, doesn't it? Unless man's willing, God can't save him. That's what to say. So it takes the sovereignty away from God and gives it to man. But it's not so. It won't be so. But under the sun, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, everything. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. So he created everything by him. God's here, the Father. And then he inherited. And he's ruler over all things. Sometimes we want to ourselves think, well, these things come by nature. And we're so steeped in that idea that Mother Nature does these things. But it rains on the just and the unjust, certainly. But it doesn't rain until God says, let it rain. It doesn't dry up until God said, let it dry up. We saw that back with Noah. Brought the flood. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained. Until God said, that's enough. And it dried up. So God is truly sovereign. 21st Proverbs. I know these things, they're pretty hard for us fleshly creatures. Sometimes. He said the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Now, he didn't necessarily mean just the king's heart either. All of them. We all kind of kings, aren't we? As the rivers of, in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. I don't believe we've ever been a time when it hadn't been more true than right now. It's in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart to do justice, and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Then in the 31st verse, he said, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is in the hands of the Lord. So it doesn't matter what it is in this world, it's controlled by God. God set up the government. I think about Moses going up and he got the Ten Commandments, the law. And then we come down, the people done made a golden calf. They broke the commandments. Went back up and got another one. He brought that one back down. You put it in the Ark of the Covenant, it'd be a testimony against you. But not only did he give him the Ten Commandments, but now he set up a more perfect government for him. It was the law and the testimony, both. And what was that testimony? The testimony was of Jesus Christ and his righteousness and holiness. This is what this testament is about. His sovereignty. So it was rules of order. A governing, if you will. And that's who the Lord is. You know why we called him Lord? You know, Baptist folks have decided, oh, he can just join the church, and after a while he called him Lord. But he must be Lord first. Can't wait. It won't work. Get the cart before the horse, and it won't work. He must be Lord. So he set up this government. Kind of reason, thinking on these terms, why I went to Apostle Paul at Mars Hill, that the testimony is not just unto the people of God, but it's unto all people, so they have a way of knowing how to govern. It establishes the government. The law. and Christ coming up on the scene, he established the law. It's good. Not only that, but he promised that one, not one jot or one tittle of it going to pass away until all be fulfilled. Well, what was that all? Those things that were set forth by God the Father before the creation of the world. That's the things. Not one jot or one tittle of it pass away, all be fulfilled. Book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Verse 5, he said, for every battle that the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Paul just read that the other day. Now the book of Ezekiel, that was a folding fire, this folding within itself a consuming fire. With the burning and fuel of fire, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government they think this thing just wobbling along. No, he governs with a rod if necessary. Shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's all these things. Not the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it. It's going to be so. Say amen. That's it. And to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Everything, every jot and every tittle. I said sometimes it's us that live among so much idea that nature is just kind of wobbling along. We call nature, nature. Nature, yes, natural. Lord set it in motion. That's a good term, but it's not in power. Nature. He said the Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it had lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are falling down. Now what this is talking about, same thing we got going on today, isn't any different. If Lord tear it down, we'll build back better. The bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stone. We make the wall a lot thicker this time. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore, the Lord shall set up the adversaries of reason against him, and join his enemies together. The Lord's going to do that. It doesn't matter what power comes up, because the Lord has set it there. Be subject unto the powers that be, for they are elected of God. It doesn't nothing move outside of the power of God. We live and move and have our being in Him, them and us. He said, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with an open mouth. For all this, His anger is not turned away, but His hand is stretched out still. And I see in this not only stretched out to Israel, but stretched out to the whole world. It's ruling over it. His hand. He's always governing. In 22nd chapter, and in verse 20, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand. And he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and house of Jacob, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut. And he shall shut, and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. And he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring of the issue, all vessels in small quantity. And the vessels of cups, it doesn't matter whether it's big or little or in between. Even to all the vessels of flagons. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed and be cut down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off. For the Lord has spoken it. When did you speak it? Back in eternity, before all this started, before He created anything, He spoke it into existence. Psalms 103. It's kind of like I said the other day, we could have went to mix so many places. Just had to pick out something. Psalms 103, verse 19. He said, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So he reigns, and he excels in strength. He never diminishes. He's always on guard. He's always searching the heart of men. and he turns them whichsoever way he will him. And the 105th Psalm, the psalmist has related some to this. In verse 1, he said, "O give thanks unto the Lord and call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye all of his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength and seek his face forever or evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgment of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever. The word which he commanded to a thousand generations from the very beginning. He said which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac. And confirm the same unto Jacob for a law." This is what's going to govern you, Jacob. That's what Moses come down with. A more perfect understanding of God for the children of Israel. The turning point is when God writes that same law upon the heart of man. Not on those tablets of stone that was put in the Ark of the Covenant, but he writes them in the heart of man, and he gives him a mind to do what is right. This is a law. Do what's right. But you can't do it outside of the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Give it to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sake. This is a sovereign God. That same thing told the devil, wasn't it? Go ahead and do something to Job, but don't you touch his life. Sovereign. He said, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. And then he's going to list a lot of things. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. Did they just accidentally go down into Egypt to get their grain? Lord sent them down there. Laid it all out. Then he brought them back out of it. Same way. He said, this is what old Pharaoh is going to do. But you go tell him anyway. He's going to finally chase you out. But then he'll try to catch you again. Pharaoh was trying to last attempt when that water swallowed them up. And it was hand of God in it every bit. He was doing at that time every jot and tittle that had been set down even before the foundation of this world. Question, though, is he still the same God? Can he still do the same thing? No, the real question is simply, do we trust him? We have the same trial, if you will, of our faith that they had. Do you trust him? Do we trust him? Can he do for us what he did for them? And the answer, of course, is yes, he can. But we do need to trust him. Even more. Yeah, a lot more, Brother Larry. A lot more. I'm afraid we don't really know how much we have been affected by the worldly thoughts and their philosophies and their ways of doing things. But certainly, the world today does have that idea. Well, the bricks are falling down, but we're going to build it back with stones. Every time a catastrophe happens, that's the idea. Well, this time we're going to build it where it can't be destroyed. Let's build an earthquake proof building. Sir? It does remind you of the Tower of Babel. And again, that's what the world is doing right now, is rebuilding that Tower of Babel. And God's not going to destroy this world. We're going to see to it that God doesn't destroy this world anymore. But what a rude awakening is it going to be? God could destroy it again by water, but this time he's going to destroy it with fire. Awesome, awesome. I marvel. I'm hearing that more and more. Well, the God of Old Testament, he was a mean God. But, you know, New Testament, Jesus is a sweet, loving Savior. He will, but he brings forth that forgiveness and repentance, doesn't he? So, that's what they did.